Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Bacon Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're also podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. And you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later on in the program, Robert Knott will be with us here, speaking of the arts. Right now, I'd like to welcome Marianne Wiggins. She is an award-winning author of many novels, and her latest is called The Shadow Catcher. And she will be at Garcia Street Books on Monday, June 23rd from 5 to 6 in the evening. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thank you for helping me, for having me.
The novel, which is fabulous and fascinating, has two interwoven stories, one in the present, the other over 100 years ago, and the latter story is based on the life of Edward Curtis, whose very famous photographs of American Indians can be found all over Santa Fe. First of all, how did you get interested in Curtis?
Curtis came onto my horizon through my daughter, who's a fine arts photographer, and I was living in London at the time that I was visiting her in California and noticed volumes, reproductions of his on her bookshelf, and was immediately taken by their beauty, first of all, and what I believed to be their truthfulness and their historical value, which I later learned fell under question. But nevertheless, you cannot help but look at these images and come away with a sense of this was a master of light and someone who really knew how to create a fantastic classical aesthetic. And so I sort of fell in love. I thought he was an heroic figure. I believed in the myth at the time that he had actually, you know, gone in a wagon and horse-drawn wagon into the American West and photographed these Indians in their natural habitat. Later, as I began to research him, I discovered that that wasn't true. He drove there in his Model T and was photographing people who were basically living in internment camps. All of the Indians that he photographed were living on reservations under the policing of the United States government. And the fact that he posed them so that they looked as if they were still leading a noble and carefree life.
So the one story is about Edward Curtis, and the other is about a character named Marianne Wiggins, which is your name, and whom I guess both is and isn't you, the author, just as Edward Curtis both is and isn't the historical character. So the book really brings up a lot of questions in the reader about what's fiction and what is real. And I was wondering, what are the parallels?
Wait, stop right there, because okay. This is now, and I teach literature at the University of Southern California, so I really do want to come down hard on the idea that, you know, fiction, when something is published as a novel, that means it's fiction. And when you take a character out of history and fictionalize aspects of their life, the only thing that I fictionalize about Curtis are possible conversations that he might have had with his lovemate, his wife Clara. I do not fictionalize the facts of his life.
Oh, is that right? Because I was reading about Curtis on some other websites, and for example, the accident in the book, he falls off a roof.
That's correct.
In the other account that I read, he had a work accident at the lumber mill.
And fell off a roof.
But not at home. Well, so I did. I mean, this is the question.
The incident that you're referring to actually is the incident around which the love affair with Clara begins. It was Clara Phillips, his family friend, who nursed him back to health. And that is the truth of the matter, and that's also an incident that I write about in the novel.
So what are the... How is it similar and different to write about someone with your own name and to some extent your own history and someone whom you know only through research and imagination?
I don't understand the question, Mary Charlotte. I think that what, you know, where we're breaking apart here is that your conception of what a novel should be and my conception of what a novel is as a practitioner of the, of fiction itself. I mean, individuals from history have been used as characters in fiction, gosh, from, early, it's going back to Shakespeare. I mean, whose version of Cleopatra do you remember? You remember Shakespeare's and not the hieroglyphic record. And so this is something that I have not invented, nor is it something that is in any way controversial about fiction. Dr. Rowe wrote about J.P. Morgan in his marvelous novel Loon Lake 3 decades ago. So it's always been a device of the serious practitioner of literature. I think what has done literature and fiction a great disservice, particularly in our nation, is the shenanigans of somebody like James Frye, who fabricated an event and then said it was the truth. I'm not doing that. I'm saying
Right. Here
is a work of fiction.
Well, and so because Curtis is a historical character and because you are a real living person, it does bring up questions about, are we really learning about Curtis? Are we learning about you,
the author? I didn't call this a biography. I didn't pretend that this was going to be something that is going that you can sit down and trust as a biographical account of Curtis's life. It is a work of fiction. Philip Roth, for example, puts himself in novels. Mailer has done it. There's a great American tradition for novelists to do this. So I'm not. My fear is perhaps you aren't very widely read, quite frankly, because this has been done again and again and again.
Well, I guess all I'm saying is that it has brought up questions for me about truth, and there are questions that came up for you about truth.
You don't go to novels for truth. You go to novels for emotional truth.
Exactly.
But if you go to novels looking for, or even in cinematic accounts, for example, of the John Kennedy assassination of Stone's movie JFK, there was a great uproar. But the truth of the matter was, he never said that it was anything other than fiction. In my own life, with the backlash against my former husband Rushdie's work, The Satanic Verses, it was never purported that he was telling a true tale of Muhammad. This is what fiction is. Fiction is a work of the imagination. Of course it is going to be including details from the real world. I don't write science fiction. So when I write about the real world, real people may or may not appear in it.
So when you first encountered, as you just said a moment ago, Curtis's work, they seemed to have you used the word truth to them. And then as you got to know more and more about him and the fact that these were setups and that they were not, there was a great deal that was hidden, namely that Indians were now on reservations. This is the kind of question. It made me think about Richard Avedon's portraits of the West and thinking about them in relation to Curtis's work. But you use the technique of actually inserting pictures into the text, both Curtis photographs and other photos and documents from both sets of lives, and they're not exactly illustrations. They're more part of the text. Was that conception integral from the beginning when you thought of doing this book?
Yes, it seems appropriate. And I think that fiction here in the United States is moving in that direction. We see it with the illustrated comic book type effects of new novels of Christopher Ware, for example. But a German writer, W.G. Sebald, is one of my heroes who includes photographs in his novels enigmatically. You don't really understand what that image is doing there. And in the past, I always thought that when you combine the written word with a photograph, one or the other was going to be decreased by the combination. But then I noticed that, we're always talking about how is the novel going to reinvent itself? Well, how is the novel going to be anything new? And the point is, I don't think it is going to be anything new because it serves such a glorious purpose in the imaginative life, but including images is one of the directions that current fiction is moving. Another movement is toward a sort of metafiction where people are writing two texts at once, where there are a lot of footnotes, as in the current Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Diaz. So I thought, I want to try to use photographs because I wanted to incite an excitement in the reader's mind, and to have the reader start to investigate the truthfulness of photographic images as they're presented to us. And the fact that I adopted a method of attempting to blur the lines of reality somewhat for the purpose of this book, and this is my 11th book, so this is a real departure for me. The fact that I decided to do it for the Curtis work was to sort of mimic his own method. I'm mimicking in words what he did with a camera.
What is the meaning of the title, The Shadow Catcher?
That was what many of the tribe's members called Curtis himself. The fact that he was catching their shadows on it's not film. He was clearly using glass plates, but the equivalent modern term would be catching their souls on film.
So the Marianne Wiggins character at the beginning of the book, who has written a book called The Shadow Catcher, she talks about she's in this meeting with some people, some Hollywood people who want to make a movie about Curtis using her book, and she talks about this process of falling in and out of love with Edward Curtis. I have to say, reading your portrayal of him and reading about him, I found him loathsome.
My portrayal of him?
Yeah, I mean, the way he treated his wife, the way he treated other people, I didn't like him. And I was
clearly there must have been something truly charismatic about him, because when you look into the eyes of his photographic subjects, who are staring back at the camera, he clearly was capable of eliciting and soliciting some emotional content from his subjects. The historical record of Curtis, I mean, when I read his divorce proceedings and the fact that he did not financially support his children, he didn't even see his last-born child until she was 18 years old. I think those of us, Mary Charlotte, who are, you know, feminists or at least attuned to the modern sensitivity, would find that loathsome. But I didn't make that up. That's the historical record. Nevertheless, I really hope, that the photographs of his that are included in this novel will speak to the reader of what a fine and unparalleled artist he was.
We're talking to Marianne Wiggins. The book is called The Shadow Catcher. So it's funny that she meets with this Hollywood producer. They want make a movie about Curtis, and the romanticizing of him that the producer is doing is both shallow and typical. And I was wondering, as I was reading through it, could you imagine your book being made into a good film?
I can never imagine any of my novels being made into a film, because that's not the way my imagination works. And I'm generally disappointed by the films that I have seen that have been made of novels that I love. One novel that I pressed very hard for when I was a judge for the National Book Award 2 years ago was Cormac McCarthy's current novel, The Road, which subsequently went on to win a Pulitzer and, as a sidebar, an Oprah pick. But I was a big fan of that book. And it's now in production. It's being made into a movie. And when I see the stills from that, my heart just drops, because the son in that novel, to me, actually he's said to be have flaxen-colored hair, and he's portrayed in the movie as a dark-haired boy. Doesn't look anything like what I imagined. So I always make a better movie in my head than what is shown on screen. Although the movies of Jane Austen books have been very satisfactory, there's certainly nothing like reading the original.
There is an awareness of simultaneously how romanticized and how false Hollywood movies are, and at the same time how much they influence the way we see our lives and our own narratives. I think the book sort of helps us look at the complexity of this.
Well, in both cinematic form and in the novel form, you have a beginning and an end. You move from left to right. And the way that I think that we start to think about moving through time, depending on your own spiritual point of view, is artificial. I don't have chapter headings in my life. I make them up because I look at the calendar, but really my experience of reality has nothing to do with that artificial calendar. So for those of us, I know it has become a current phrase that when something very moving or of a crisis nature occurs before one's eyes, people comment and say it was like a movie. I think that individuals who use that phrase need to examine their lives a little more closely because, you know, movies imitate life. Life should not imitate movies.
Well, there was a funny moment for me reading it. You talked right at the beginning about tectonic plates shifting and the geology of California. And I realized that as you were describing that, I was seeing the tectonic plates shifting through a kind of rectangular screen and listening to the big, giant crashing soundtrack, which, of course, is crazy because it's in another geological time-space that is completely outside of what we can frame visually.
How old are you, Mary Charlotte? And this is not a pejorative question at all, but it seems that with the great number of the questions that you're asking me, you're giving a visual context, and I'm wondering if your entire cultural prism has been formed through the eye, as opposed through radio. And you are a radio practitioner, but I come from a generation where so much of the world was perceived not through a rectangular screen, but through the written word.
No, I'm from the television generation. There's no doubt about it. Uh-huh. We grew up watching television since I was probably 6 years old. Not the very first years of my life.
Enormous impact on the way that your imagination functions.
Well, absolutely. But I think your book made me think about those things, which is
good.
Maybe a positive outcome of reading it not only for me.
Good. Let's recommend it to whoever is listening to this.
And whoever's listening to this can go hear Marianne Wiggins speak on Monday at the 23rd of June from 5 to 6 o'clock at Garcia Street Books. We look forward to seeing you there.
Great. Thank you very much.
Marianne Wiggins is the author of the book The Shadow Catcher. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo, which is Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico, and he's here with us just about every Friday speaking of the arts. Welcome, Robert.
Good morning.
And Donald Stout with the Human Rights Alliance is here. Welcome. It's great to have you yet another year to talk about Gay Pride.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte. Great to be here.
So Gay Pride, let's start with that. That's this weekend. Today through, over a week long.
Yeah, it's actually 10 days through the 29th.
Amazing.
Uh-huh.
Is it getting longer every year?
Seems like it anyway. It's been about, 8 to 10 days now for a couple of years now.
And so what are some of the highlights of things that are happening?
Well, you know, we have the some of the returning events like the art show, which is actually expanded this year to four galleries on Delgado Street. So that's a really nice way this event has been growing over the last few years. It should be really good. It's featuring Delmas Howe and Kim Russo and eight other artists.
So how do you get into a gay art show? Do you have to be gay or actually do themes that are relating to issues? I mean, this year Pride is called Pride, Not Prejudice.
Right. Right, and the title of the show is Heroes and Icons, we're becoming more thematic in this show and a bit more selective in the art that gets into the show and the artists, so that there is some kind of coherence in the show. So that's a little bit different this year.
And as always, there's fun and dancing.
There's a lot of fun events. So we have a new event we're calling Swim and Spin, which is like a pool party up at the lodge. So that's a new social event, which should be a lot of fun. And then the usual social events, the Pride Train to Lamy and Men's Night Out at St. Francis Hotel and the Women's Dance, Dyke Dance up at the Lodge as well.
So has the Lodge kind of replaced the Paramount as the place where stuff like that happens?
Well, they've been really good to us this year, and they're a major sponsor. They're our host hotel. And they've worked with us really, really well to do some events up there. So it's a nice venue.
What are you most looking forward to?
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to the staged reading of The Great Bob. It's a new play that we commissioned from Nancy Mercado in Houston. And this is a staged reading this year with the idea that we'll do a full production next year. But it's imagine some famous gay characters coming to the same party. Gertrude Stein, Cole Porter, of all people, J. Edgar Hoover.
Yeah, well.
So these improbable meetings at a party, all of these historical gay characters, it should be really, really interesting and fun.
That sounds like a challenge to write a play of that level.
Well, you know, this came out of a brainstorming session that Donya Hatch and I had one evening after last year, and we were just like talking with some other folks, and I don't know who said it first, but what if all these people came together and had a party, you know, and what would that happen at that party?
And who would get drunk and
right.
carry on first?
Exactly.
Do you guys do that when you're at parties? Get drunk and carry on?
Well, not me, Donald? Personally.
Oh, no, never.
Mary Charlotte?
This is a family show.
Well, this happens in families, too. I know that.
Where have we come since last year? I mean, every year we try to get domestic partnership laws passed in New Mexico and haven't succeeded yet.
We haven't succeeded yet. I think, of course, everybody is aware of what happened in California.
For listeners who haven't?
The Supreme Court in California ruled that it's unconstitutional not to allow same-sex couples to marry. And that started on June 16th at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I think the genie's out of the bottle with California, and it's going to be very, very hard to put it back in the bottle. And I think that's going to have a positive effect here in New Mexico, where New Mexico is one of the more progressive states, and we've come so close with the domestic partnership, and I think this is going to just make that momentum even stronger in the future.
Donald Stout is with the Human Rights Alliance right here in Santa Fe. And if people want to find out more about the Gay Pride events and schedule and locations and all of that, is that the Pasatiempo you have there in your hands?
I've got the Pasatiempo. There's a big full-page ad in this week's Pasatiempo. And you can go to santafegaypride.com.
Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. It was great.
Robert Knott, what else is happening this weekend?
Well, if you look at the cover of the Pasatiempo, Out of Sight, S-I-T-E, you know that Sight Santa Fe is opening its 7th annual biennial exhibit. And you know what biennial means, right?
Every 2 years.
That's right.
As opposed to semi-annual, which means twice a year.
Well, what happens if it's twice a week?
Semi-weekly.
But not bi-weekly.
That's every 2 weeks.
Okay, that's good. Well, what was I talking about? Oh, so the biennial is called Lucky Number 7. Curated by Lance M. Fung.
And whom we had on the radio this week.
And the reception is noon to 5 p.m. on Sunday at Site Santa Fe, which is on the railroad tracks, 1606 Paseo de Peralta, here in Santa Fe. Phone number is 989-1199. There's no charge for the opening on Sunday. Now, this is 21 artists, and they're working with art that's pretty much like disposable or rechangeable, or we'll go back to the Earth or something.
Ephemeral.
Well, maybe it is, but I'm not going to be asking about the religious qualifications. But anyway, so I went to the press exhibit last night, the press preview. When you remember the press, these things happen. So I drive over there, and first of all, there's no parking. Some guy says to me, "You can't park here, bud." You know, I was going to park along the edge. And I go down to the back, and right near the dumpster, a car pulls out. So I back in. I always get these parking spots. I see the back door of a site open, so I go through the loading dock, and I run into a couple of employees there. It's always good to get gossip from them when they don't know who you are. So then I wandered in the wrong way. I didn't know where the bar was. But
there's somebody who doesn't know who you are?
Well, actually, one of them recognized me. And then we had a nice little chit-chat. And he said, "It's nice to see you," which made me happy. Because I like when people see me and say that rather than, "It's not nice to see you." In which case, they should close their eyes, I say. Anyway, so it's 21 different artists. It's bizarre. It's weird. It's fun. It's risky. Some of it's crazy. A couple of them seem to me like shams. But that's just my opinion. It's definitely worth going to see. Even if you're not an art person, you're not a museum person, go over to Site Santa Fe. It's a really interesting, involving exhibit. I think kids would like it because there's some strange stuff there. Everything from bottles made up like Zizobra to a jumping platform. You climb up on a platform and you jump into like a stuntman's padded area. I don't know how that constitutes art, but who am I to say? There's a sculpture by a couple of French guys. I wrote about them in today's Pasa. That's sort of an abduction sculpture with the tinges of UFO. Big story. It's 15, 16 pages in Pasatiempo. Nice.
Yeah, it's fun. I went over there, I guess it was last week, and it was still in a stage of being under construction, so some of the work wasn't there yet or wasn't fully installed. But it's interesting to see how these things come together.
There's a cook. There's a guy with a power cable. It's all in Pasatiempo. 15 pages. Every artist is covered, and Paul Weideman did a great cover story. So that's the big
Excellent.
Thing, Site Santa
that's
Fe.
That's the big thing.
Meanwhile, you like books.
I like books.
I know.
Hey, speaking of you like books.
Oh, yes.
If anybody who is listening.
I am.
Has a, I know you are, but I can't see the other people out there who are listening, who are driving
or
at home.
They might be in their pajamas or something.
They could be in their pajamas. But if you have your computer open and you would like to comment on the interview which we just had with Marianne Wiggins, who is speaking on Monday at Garcia Street Books, I would like to hear people's feedback on that interview. I get feedback, small amounts, but nevertheless, I get feedback on my show. But I would like to hear a large amount of it on this on this show that aired from 8 to 8:30 today.
I don't want to pre-qualify nobody for this commentary, but it seems to me she was questioning her literary background. Anyway.
No comment.
Summer book sale is why I brought it up. Friends of the Santa Fe Public Library are having their summer book sale Saturday and Sunday at the main library, 145 Washington Avenue, downtown, where the library is, downtown. 10 to 4 o'clock Saturday and Sunday, open to the public. Pardon me, Sunday 1 to 4 o'clock. They have a special bag day. You pay so much money for a bag, and you get like a bag of books. Select prices. They're going to have videos, paperbacks, children's books. This is going to be a deal. I myself intend to be there. It's the book sale at the main library. I also want to point out that the Santa Fe Animal Shelter is looking for people to adopt kitties, and they're giving you a deal. I'm a big animal fanatic, as is Mary Charlotte. If you like animals, you know
especially
what I'm talking
dogs.
About. If you don't like animals, there's nothing we can do about that. The animal shelter's at 983-4309, special adoption for the kitty cats, and I have kitties myself as well as puppies.
Hey, Curtis Elliott, who I had on the air this week, made a film called Haircut, which is spelled H-A-R-K-U-T-T, and it's about his friend who's a barber who's named Haircut and who's a heroin addict, and they take him up to a cabin in a remote area to help him detox, to help him get better. And it's a brutal but fascinating film on a lot of levels. And he will be here this weekend. I believe it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday evenings.
And speaking of films, which we don't often talk about here on the show, the Talking Stick Film Festival is the first time that this Native American event combining workshops, panel discussions, about 75 movies, a party, an award ceremony, music concert, is going to be running from today. It might be through tomorrow through next Thursday at the Hotel Santa Fe. Here's the basic thing. Go to the website talkingstickfilmfestival.org, or I will give you a phone number, 988-4226, to find out more. I don't know much about it. We only wrote a little piece about it, but if this is an annual event, I'm sure we'll cover it in the future. Terrific movie at the screen, Contempt.
Yes.
Jean-Luc Godard.
Ah.
With Brigitte Bardot, who was never better as an actress, Michel Piccoli, and Fritz Lang playing himself. It's a beautiful, heartbreaking picture. I saw it. It's great. It's at the screen. It's from 1963. And it's not just that Brigitte has no clothes on in a lot of scenes, which adds a lot, but it's just a terrific little drama in it. Sort of broke my heart watching it, but it's beautiful. Get Smart, the movie version of the old TV show you and I used to watch when we were kids.
Yes.
It's not too good. I saw a preview of it. It's okay. It's over there at the Regal Stadium 14. And there's also a little picture at CCA called A Walk Into the Sea, Danny Williams and the Warhol Factory. It's only playing on Monday night. It's not rated. We have a little blurb in the Pasa Picks today.
Hey, Ethnosphere Music Lab is presenting the Brass Band Blowout with Maya Mundi Brass Bands. And that's Alan Kapolsky and a couple of other artists. And this is Saturday, tomorrow, June 21st, at 7 o'clock at the Armory for the Arts. And for more information and tickets, 988-1234. And it's a very low price for kids under 18. There's also a silent auction, kids' activities, instrument building by reservation. And for more information and volunteers, you can call 913-0426. And I love their stuff. The Ethnosphere Music Lab puts on very strange, unique, wonderful evenings of performance.
Meanwhile, if you want to hear Jazz by the Pool, the Burt Dalton Trio, they're playing Thursday night, 5 to 8 o'clock next Thursday, at the pool by the Bishop's Lodge Ranch Resort and Spa out on Bishop's Lodge Road. There's no cover. It's a beautiful pool out there. Do you know if that's the sort of pool that like we could sneak into at midnight and go skinny dipping in? Any clue?
I don't know. Isn't that a kind of question you ask in private?
I don't know. Maybe somebody out there knows. I'm looking for a pool like that.
All right.
I got in trouble. I went up to Los Alamos. I had to go to a funeral. So I was looking for the church to go to the funeral. I was all dressed up. And I went to the health center there to ask for directions. And there were all these women behind the counter. And for some reason, I wanted just directions to the church, but I blurted out, do you have nude swimming here? And they were all embarrassed. And then they started talking about it. So that's a good idea. We should have, like, Thursday night be ladies' night and Anyway, I shouldn't talk about this stuff on the air.
Hey, guess what? How about the roller derby?
Roller derby. The girls are back at the College of Santa Fe. I saw them the last time. You should see them. First of all, they get all dolled up in like these roller derby outfits with the sweatshirts that are like sweaty, and they put on the really tough ankle pads, and then they put the knee pads on, the elbow pads. They put on helmets, and then they go around on in a little room that's like got a wooden floor, and they have roller skates, and then they push and bump and hit each other, and they're trying to beat each other and find out how many times around they can go. That's terrific. Sunday afternoon, right? Tell us more.
This is the part of the morning's entertainment where Robert Knott lights up and turns kind of red.
Never mind that.
It's Sunday, June 22nd, and doors open at 4 o'clock. The bout starts at 5, and it's the College of Santa Fe Alumni Hall. One game, the Santa Fe Disco Brawlers against Burke. They're calling it the fight for the state title. And let's see. Santa Fe Brewing Company will be hosting a beer garden, and they're pretty sure there'll be a party afterwards at Backroads Pizza.
That's excellent. I'll have to show up there and see if I can get some beer and see if those roller derby girls are need any.
Oh, and there's tickets
lotion
until tomorrow at La Montañita Co-op.
A very old man with enormous wings runs through the weekend at the James A. Little Theater on the New Mexico School for the Deaf campus, which, in case you do not know, is at 1060 Cerrillos Road, right off St. Francis, not too far from downtown. It is the magic realism play by Nito Cruz, based on a story by Gabriel Garcia Marquez. David Olson directs. Not too expensive to get in. Kids 12 and under, even cheaper. We don't name prices here on KSFR, terrific community radio station. 471-1799. I'm going to try to make it to the 2 o'clock matinee Sunday, and then I can still make the roller derby girls at 4. So you go from magic realism fantasy to roller girls. The Last Tutor wraps up its 3-week run at the El Museo Cultural de Santa Fe, 1615B, Paseo de Peralta. Here's a phone number, 455-2340. Craig Barnes' play about Elizabeth and her final days and the abuse of power and other events going on. The paper's getting a lot of letters commending the play, so despite the fact I didn't think too much of it, it's getting good popular words, so keep that in mind. Santa Fe Dance Festival, and then I'll let you cut in. Moving People Dance Santa Fe presents Moveo Dance Party with DJ Mike Garcia. When? Tonight. What time? 8 o'clock. Where? Rainbow Vision Santa Fe. Where's that, Robert? I'll tell you, folks. 500 Rodeo Road. How much to get in? We can't tell you on the air, but you got to pay. Is there a phone number, Robert? Why, naturally. You think I wouldn't give you a phone number? Get your pens and papers out. 428-7781. Go ahead.
Right now, as we speak, there is the Galisteo Watershed Partnership, second of the two-part meetings, and it's called How Can We Work Together on Wildlife Conservation for the Galisteo Basin. It's in Santa Fe Community College, boardroom number 223, and it goes until 12:30 today at the community college. And if you can, you just go over there if you want to, and you can also visit galisteowatershed.org.
Hey, what time is it?
8:43.
Okay, so I got to talk to you.
Talk to me.
Wednesday night I went to the Lenzerk to see Carrie Fisher. I was kind of tired, but I went. And she's just terrific. It's called Wishful Drinking. It's her one-woman comedic show. She wrote it. She acts in it. Directed by Tony Tacconi, I think. And it's really a nicely done, funny, connect-to-the-audience piece. She seems to still enjoy the show because you can tell her enthusiasm comes out. And she basically talks about everything bad in her life. It's really a bittersweet story about addiction, alcoholism, losing lovers, losing a man to another man, being bipolar, her career up and down, her mom, Debbie Reynolds. There's film clips, she's got like a 6 degrees of separation board. Really good show. I really recommend you go to see it. I really enjoyed going to see it. I'm sorry I didn't write a review because I would have given it a rave. It's at the Lenzik, 988-1234, tonight at 8. Saturday at 8, I think 2 shows on Sunday at 2 and 7. And she shows this little clip from the movie Tammy. Do you remember?
No.
What
never
do you mean
saw
that?
It.
This is the thing. I got to teach you every time I come on. I got to give you some new instruction. Remember Debbie Reynolds and Tammy?
No.
She was pregnant with Carrie Fisher during the movie.
Oh.
And she went out in the bayou because she lived in Florida. Walter Brennan was her grandfather, so everybody knew there's problems. And she sang that great song. You never heard that?
Apparently I haven't, Robert. How many times do you want me to say it?
Man, the things I got to come on here and educate you about. Listen.
Well?
I hear the cottonwoods whispering above. Tammy, Tammy, Tammy's in love. The old hootie out, hootie hoots to the dove. Tammy, oh Tammy, Tammy's in love. Does my lover feel what I feel when she is here? My heart beats so lustily whenever she comes near. Wish I knew if she knew what I'm thinking of.
Tammy. Is that the dog part?
Tammy. I'll haul off and hit you. Tammy's in love.
I thought there might be a dog part in there.
I don't remember if there's a dog, but Leslie Nielsen plays her boyfriend. Debbie Reynolds has never been cuter, and Carrie Fisher does a great imitation of her mother. And if you like Debbie Reynolds or Carrie Fisher, go see Wishful Drinking.
Speaking of dogs, there is a workshop on Saturday. Oh, it's in a week, June 28th. Well, mark your calendars. Nutrition for Senior Dogs. It's at the Kindred Spirits Animal Sanctuary. And the number over there is 471-5366.
And speaking of dogs, the third annual Gem and Mineral Show. Now you're going to go ahead and say to me, how does that tie in with dogs, Robert? And I will extrapolate. One of my two dogs is named Gem, as in gemstone. So whenever I see Gem, I think about my dog, Gem, who I love. And the third annual Gem and Mineral Show takes place over the weekend at the Palace of the Governor's Courtyard downtown, Palace and Lincoln Avenue. You enter through the Blue Gate. Portion of sales benefits the Native American Artisans Portal Program. There's no charge. So you go over to the main library for the book library sale. Then you walk downtown to the Palace of Governors. You go in for the Gem and Mineral Show. 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Sunday, and it may be Saturday. Sorry for not having that info. Here's the phone number, 476-5112. Also, quickly, Sunday night, Lanny, a terrific name. I know because it's the name of a character in a new play I'm writing called The Santa Claus Murder Case. I'm writing it with Matt Sanford. It's going to be hilarious. You've got to come see it. Lanny Garrett is going to be doing a Stars Never Fade Productions called Screen Gems. Notice, once again, Gem. We talked about Gem, my dog, The Gem Show, and Jungle Gem. Anyway, so...
There are no coincidences.
Not just that, but things that happen randomly but seem connected are quite often, shall we say, quixotic. Anyway, this review called Screen Gems occurs at 6 o'clock on Sunday at Vanessa of Santa Fe down on San Francisco Street. You got to pay to get in, 982-9966, and I assume she's going to be singing songs from movies. And perhaps, just perhaps, if you and I beg, she'll do Tammy.
Begging, that'd be fun. Hey, Summit is a China and Japan exhibition at Casa Nova, which is in the rail yard at 530 South Guadalupe. And it runs through the 31st of July. And it's four Chinese and four Japanese artists who are being exhibited for the first time in Santa Fe. You can go to CasanovaGallery.com or 983-8558.
If you see something, say something. You remember that phrase came out after 9/11?
Okay.
We're supposed to catch terrorists and such.
Did it work?
Well, I don't know. That was 2001. Look where we are today. Performance artist Mike Daisy presents his new one-man show, which is based, among other things, on the beginnings of the Homeland Security Department, his trip to the Trinity site, and the father of the neutron bomb. He's never performed this anywhere else. He's bringing it to the Lenzic Thursday night for a three-show run, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7:30 tickets. I have a Q&A with him in today's PASA.
And I've got an interview with him that is going to air on Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock.
He's an interesting guy. He makes up everything on the spot like I do, except he's extemporaneous. You know that word when you...
Extemporaneous?
That's it, exactly.
I said, can you send me? I asked them, can you send me a DVD of the show so I can take a look at it? And they said, no, it just it's extemporaneous. So
well, you should read my Q&A.
It's not scripted.
You off.
Yeah.
That's right. That means it's off the cuff.
That's right. So let's see what else is going on. So
done?
That's Mike Daisy at the Lenzic.
Starting Thursday night.
And I got an email here this weekend. Today, a solstice blessing for the soul. At Annapurna. It's a shop located inside of Annapurna, and they are doing something the every third Friday of the month from 4 till 9 p.m. and tarot, astrology, shamanic healing, energy work, and all kinds of things.
I'd like to do some of that. The Wheelwright Museum of the American Indian up at 704 Camino Lehu on Museum Hill has the continual show From the Railroad to Route 66, the Native American Curio Trade in New Mexico. Runs through April of next year. I've not yet been up to see it, but I remember Craig Smith wrote a good piece about it. I have a feeling it's going to be a neat show. No charge on Sundays, folks. Consider going up there. Meanwhile, if you have kids, you don't know what to do with them, Santa Fe Children's Museum, 1050 Old Pecos Trail, 10 to 5, Wednesday through Saturday, noon to 5 Friday. And kids get in for, like, really cheap, and New Mexico residents get in for really cheap on Sunday. Otherwise, it's museum admission. And what can you do? Well, for example, right now, 9 o'clock in the morning to noon, creative dramatics. From 1 to 4, make clay pots. From 2 to 3:30, outdoor and greenhouse activities. And from 3 to 5, songwriting camp. Tomorrow, they'll have cooking in the garden. On Sunday, there's art and games in the Earthworks Garden. Also, launch water rockets from 2 to 4. Come over to my house, kids. We can do that and set some fireworks on them as well. I won't charge you. There's also sewing on burlap on Thursday from 1 to 4. Isn't that amazing? Like, burlap what?
Well, I don't know. Burlap sacks.
Did you ever sew when
burlap
you were a kid?
Burlap miniskirts? Yes, I was very good at it.
Do you still sew?
Not so much.
Do you knit or darn?
Darn, yes. Knit, no.
Yeah, well, sometimes. I darn people, too. But I
hey, are you in the mood for giving? The festival is...
Forgiving or giving?
Giving. The festival of giving is this Sunday, the 22nd, at the DeVargas Park, which is a skateboard park, from 3 to 7 in the afternoon. And St. Elizabeth's Homeless Shelter has requested baseball caps, T-shirts, shampoo, razor blades, shaving cream, deodorant, all sorts of things like that, toothpaste, sleeping bags, phone cards, tents, or you can bring non-perishable foods, or you can bring prepared dishes or sandwiches ready to eat for the festival. And there's going to be performance and song and poems. I think an open mic night. Yeah, open mic time. Or just bring yourself and your kids.
Hey, what time is it?
8:52.
Okay, here's a couple art openings tonight. Aaron Payne Fine Art has Forms of Vestige, mixed media by Deborah Heed, H-E-D-E, reception 4 to 7. They're down on Marcy Street. Manitou Galleries has paintings by Tom Perkinson, reception 5 to 7. They're on Palace Avenue. Jenny Cooley Gallery, 717D, as in Delightful Canyon Road, has new paintings on old objects. Mixed media work by Ty Anderley, reception 5 to 7:30 p.m. And Steve Elmore Indian Art at 839 Paseo de Peralta has Southwestern landscapes, interiors, and exteriors. They ought to throw in a few ulteriors. Paintings by Steve Elmore, reception 5 to 7 through July 17th. You want to go hear some music tonight? Chispa at El Mason has Three Faces of Jazz. Not just one, not just two, but three. 8 to 11 o'clock, no cover.
And tonight at Body at 7:30 with A Song in Your Heart, Lisa J. Carmen and Kelvin McNeil with local fledgling singer-songwriters for an original and innovative concert, and it's free.
Pretty good. La Fiesta Lounge has The Wise Guys, rock and roll, 8 o'clock. Ah, The Wise Guys, eh? Isn't it funny, like, if you add Edward G. Robinson's voice to anything, it kind of makes it interesting to talk about? Ah, I'd like to talk about Reconstructionism in the art world. I would listen to that, wouldn't you, to that lecture?
Sure.
Your buddy Marianne Wiggins is signing copies 5 to 6 o'clock, Monday, Garcia Street Books. That same night, Southwest
Seminars. I've already gotten emails about it, but I haven't read them yet.
Southwest Seminars has a little lecture called Always Different, Santa Fe and Northern Rio Grande in Early Prehistory. It's a lecture by archaeologist Robert Dello Russo, 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Listen to me, because you know where my thoughts are.
Why?
It's always 6 o'clock at my house. 6 o'clock, Hotel Santa Fe, 1501 Paseo de Peralta. Tuesday night, Youth Night at the Opera. Da, 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 da. I don't know why I did that. The Marriage of Figaro. It's a story about a guy that gets married. His name's Figaro. It's 9 o'clock. Hands-on educational presentations at 8 o'clock. I don't know, maybe they teach you how to be the barber of Seville or something. It's up at the Opera, 7 miles north of town. You got to pay to get in, 986-5900. I'm supposed to go up there today to interview some of those guys about that show.
And the last opera program on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe is Monday, this coming Monday, in the morning at this time, 8 to 9, and we're talking about Radamisto by Handel.
Oh, you better get a handle on that. A conversation...
I think you're the first person who's ever made that pun.
Well, after all... I ought to start hiding. That's good. I love those guys' names. Get Bach. I'm hiding. Get Bach. Get it? It's all funny. It's Beethoven and Mozart aren't as much fun. What else do you want me to talk about? Are we done?
Are we done? No, we're never done. There's always so much more. Hey, did you hear about World Music Day?
World Music Day. I did not. Go ahead.
What do you call these things? Attachment. Don't send attachments, ladies and gentlemen. But
that's
here it is.
I like paper
World Music Day. It's free concerts from 3 to 9 o'clock on June 21st, which is Saturday. And it's happening at Cafe Paris. And it's happening at Starbucks on West San Francisco Street.
That's pretty good.
So from 3 till 9:30 in the evening.
Hey, the City Different Artisans Outdoor Market is 9 to 2 o'clock. First Community Parking Lot, 100 North Guadalupe Street. No cover. And the Santa Fe Society of Artists are on Sandoval and Johnson Streets. Santa Fe Artist Markets in the Casa Solana Shopping Center. A lot of artist markets all over town now, free on the weekend, usually 9 to 5, give or take. Go by and say hello, even if you don't buy anything.
And there's so many more exhibitions than we can announce, but if you just walk around, downtown and Canyon Road downtown. On Fridays in the afternoons, you will simply see them.
Warehouse 21 is opening next week. Don't forget. Meowwolf's still putting on youth exhibits. Don't forget. Young filmmakers are needed for the Santa Fe Film Festival and Warehouse 21's video program. Call 989-4423. Pick up Pasta Tiempo. All this stuff's in there. Even if you're like 18 and you don't like reading pasta because it's written by 50-year-olds. There's stuff there for youth, and there's the calendar's great, and Rob DeWalt and Pam Beach do a great job at the calendar, and there it is. And I see that the 4th of July pancakes are coming up.
Yes, they are indeed. Oh, there's one art exhibition I wanted to note that it's a little off the beaten track, so you wouldn't come across it. Pastel artist Mary Denine presents a new body of work called Ojos, which is on Sunday, today, June 20th, from 4 to 8, at her studio, which is 1539 Borough Lane, which is 3 miles west of downtown off West Alameda. And there's small works, and for more information, you can call 455-3275.
Go on the New Mexican website and look up E, Pasta Tiempo. You can get Pasta Tiempo for free on E, on the computer.
Yay.
Also on the New Mexican website, we have the Scoop site, which is for animals. You like animal stories? Go to Scoop. Ben Swan put it together. He's a great guy. Check out the New Mexican website for more antics and other things, and... it's been a hoot. It's been a holler. It's been a lot of things. I'll see you around.
And the San Miguel Chapel, we talked about the San Miguel Chapel restoration project, but they're having a lecture on Wednesday of next week, June 25th at 12 p.m. at the San Miguel Chapel, which is on Old Santa Fe Trail right near Upper Crust Pizza.
That's pretty good. And don't forget, the New Mexico Jazz Fest is coming to the Lenzic in mid-July.
Yay.
And Pause for a Cause is having a little doggy walk on Saturday at Alto Bicentennial Park, 7 to 11.
Now you're talking my language.
I know it. There's lots of fun for people and dogs. You got to register. Here's a phone number, 983-4309, and there's actually an ad in the Pasta Tiempo on page 75. Plus the Greek Fest next weekend, but we'll talk about that next week.
We'll talk about that next weekend. And there is an opening tonight from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Margraf Salon Margraf. And for more information on that, you can call 955-0471. And that's out in Tsuki. Try to announce ones that are not just downtown. And it's time to go. Robert Knott is the associate editor of the Pasta Tiempo Friday Arts Supplement in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. And he's here with us just about every Friday speaking of the arts, and it's terrific to have him.
Thanks.
No, thanks to you. So you've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can reach me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We're also podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. And you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the local, for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, jazz a la carte. What are you singing?
If I were in her arms, wish I knew if you knew what I'm thinking of. Marisolid, Marisolid, Marisolid's in love. Adios.
I'll see you later.